Cool. Back with Seer Nova Podcast, episode 132. We got Winston Gambro. What's up?
Hey, Greg. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming. You were never on our podcast, but you were on a virtual Comic-Con like the first ever year that we did it.
Yeah.
That was a while ago. And we're still doing it. Who are you and what do you do?
So I'm a comic creator out of Chicago. I write, I draw, basically do everything else. I've got a new book called Haunted House, a love story about a sentient house that falls in love with the person living in it. When that person falls for someone else, the house gets jealous and seeks vengeance.
That's cool.
Thank you.
It's kind of like there's a movie called Jexy, and it's like the, I don't know if you ever saw that, but the guy from Workaholics, Adam Levine or whatever, he's got the phone and the AI like falls in love with him. So the phone starts to get jealous.
Same vein.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. No Workaholics in mine, though. I would have loved the celebrity casting. Probably would have boosted the numbers. That's funny.
What other like comics and stuff have you worked on? I know like you do like logo design and all that other stuff because people are like, oh, Winston's done this.
I'm a designer probably first and foremost. I do a lot of freelance comic book design. Back in March, I actually got hired at Oni Press, so I'm a designer there right now. I'm working on some cool stuff there.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have Dylan usually create the logos and stuff for like, well, he created not that logo that you see, the pumpkin one. J.R. Harris, the artist for Mittens, he created that. But Dylan created like our main logo, and he's created like all like the titles and stuff for all of our comics, basically.
Oh, sick. Yeah, so is he a designer too?
He's a graphic designer. He's not like a huge like artist or anything, like, but yeah, he is trying to learn how to draw so he can actually draw one of our comics just so I don't have to pay.
Oh yeah. Yeah, oh hey, like, there's a cat.
There's a cat. It's Marshall. Say hi. Oh, okay. Yeah, I have three different artists working on different things, so.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it would be really nice to not have to pay somebody to do a comic.
Hey, that's why I draw my own.
Yeah, and then people at my job are like, why don't you just, like, draw your comic? I was like, I can't draw. I just write it.
Yeah, at our level, it is a lot more affordable to be on the artist side of things. Yeah. My God, the page count racks up fast.
Yeah, it does. What's your favorite like genre to like create?
Like horror? I kind of jump around. I get bored easily, which is kind of my big issue, so I don't stay in like one universe. I do like a bunch of self-contained stuff. So far I've done horror, cartoony mystery, cyberpunk mystery. I think the kind of the big hook I always put is some kind of mystery, if only because so it will keep the reader reading until the end. Like just something I kind of grabbed from some of my favorite creators. Even if I wasn't a huge fan of the book, they usually had some sort of hook, like why did this happen in issue one, who is this character, and you know, it's enough to make me stick around for at least past issue one.
That's cool. Yeah, I have like our like flagship title. We have kind of like a conspiracy thing going, but like it's not the main focal point in the beginning. It's just like getting to know some of the characters at first, and then you're like, oh yeah, there's that conspiracy thing. Just so I can like keep them in the story.
It's the best way to do it.
Stop doing that to the chair.
Oh, I thought he was throwing up.
Oh no. He doesn't really do that. He, like, tries to, and then he, like, can't. He's like, oh, man. Is there, like, a piece of advice that you can give to new comic creators? Because I know, like, I see posts all the time in Facebook groups that are, like, I just saw one, like, yesterday. I'm going to get $50,000 on my Kickstarter and then I'll pay everybody. And I was like, what? I'm not gonna respond to that.
Yeah, I've definitely seen those posts. I think the biggest thing is start small. Everyone has that epic in their head, that 300 issue giant saga, but start with like a 5-page story, figure out how to write it, how to plot it, and then, you know, how to find an artist, how that whole system works, and just start the smallest thing possible. Heck, do a 1-page story. It's the best way to learn is to just do baby steps.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Just good advice in general. Yeah, because when we first started, I was trying to find an artist and like a lot of people and not have to pay them. But mm-hmm. like I wanted to pay people. It's just like the fact like I don't really have money to do that. So if I try to find the cheapest way possible, and then like we did an Indiegogo before we had an audience or anything, and we got like $200 and something, and I was like, oh, that's gonna go to nothing. So then we like I started listening to Dylan because he's like, oh, read this one book, the $100 Startup, and once I actually like read that, I was like, oh, okay. And it like has like a product launch kind of like setup, but I created my own thing for like a 21-step checklist for like crowdfunding, and I follow that anytime I like do a Kickstarter or whatever now.
Nice.
I don't forget anything, except the last two campaigns I forgot to put the Comics Wellspring discount thing on the Kickstarter. But yeah, besides that.
Oh yeah, at least you're not like forgetting the title of the book or something.
Oh no, that would be bad. Like this was, I don't know, dogs? No.
And your other crowdfundings have gone a lot better than that first one?
Oh yeah. So we failed. Well, obviously we failed on that one. It was Indiegogo, so like we didn't get the goal or whatever it was. And then the mm-hmm. one after that, we failed because we were still asking for too much. I didn't read that thing until after that. The second one was actually, I think, a Kickstarter. And it was like all over the place, and like there, like we were starting to get into the community, and there were a couple people who were like, "This like doesn't make any sense. Like, is this for like going to Comic Cons, or is this to like make comics?" And I was like, "Oh, it's like just a bunch of stuff." And they're like, "Oh, no." I was like, "Oh, okay." So that failed, and then the first one we did was for our flagship title, Seer Chronicles. That like. Is not even how it is now because that artist kind of like butchered what I was trying to do. So then I had that remastered and whatever, but that was the first successful campaign was that one.
Nice. Well, that's another great lesson too, that every single creative person starts with a series of failures, right?
Yeah.
Hey, my first convention, I sold 2 things the entire day.
Yeah, our first convention was in March because like we've been around since 2017, but like we haven't like done a convention until this year. We were gonna do a bunch in 2020, and then 2020 happened. So, we went to this like D&D convention, and we don't really play D&D. We did our virtual Comic-Con, but besides that, we sold like 6 things or something, but like it was like not the people that were there. The people that were there were like the D&D, like just playing D&D. It was just people coming in, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. We technically didn't make the money back for the table, but like I don't even care because it was like our first one ever, and like we were just so happy that like we finally got to sell the stuff.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And for my comic mittens, like all you have to do is say, do you like cats? And then people just come on over.
Yeah, another tip for people, if you're conventioning, get a gimmick. Get, like, say, how are you going to get people to your table? Do you like cats is a great one.
Yeah.
I have a business card with a empty slot on it, and I draw your favorite character. So.
Oh, that's cool.
I give people free stuff, and people like free stuff. So, you know, just get a gimmick.
Yeah, I, so somebody that got the Mittens comic, it was the last person to get it, and like it was really weird. I still tell this even though it happened in March, because it's like just a really weird story. So this job that I was applying for back in like March is where my brother works. And where the convention was, it's like nearby where his job is, but like of all the places that this person could work at, she worked at where he worked. It was really weird. Yeah. But I didn't find that out until the next day. So she was coming up to our table, and I was like, "Oh, do you like cats?" She's like, "I just got a cat." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And then she's like, "I named it ZD." And I was like, "That's different." And I was like, "This one's named Mittens." And she's like, looking through the comic, and she's like, "So, like, do you guys like write these?" And we're like, "Yeah." Like, I write them. And she's like, "Oh, does he draw them?" I was like, "Nah, he like edits them." And she's like, "Oh, that's awesome." And then she like, "Oh, okay, well, I'm going to buy this." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And I like just gave her the last magnet, like the Mittens magnet that we had from the Kickstarter. I was like, "I'll just give this to you." And then I found out the next day, my brother's like, "Oh, yeah, so there's a girl that like went to your con or whatever, and she bought Mittens and like told everybody about it at work." I was like, "Oh, she works at your job?" He's wow. like, "Yeah." I was like, "That's such a small world."
Yeah,
that's insane.
Did she know, like, did she know the connection?
Nope.
Oh, wow. That's hilarious.
Not until, like, because she worked in a different, like, building where he was. He's, like, a facilities tech or something. And she, like, just works somewhere in some office. And she was, wow. like, talking on Slack. And then she's like, "Oh, yeah, this was cool. I read this to my cat." I was like, okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's just so weird. So I was like, "Oh, that's a really cool story."
How many conventions have you done now?
Just that one, and then we're going to do another one in, like, 2 weeks, which is another, like, local one in Rotterdam, New York. It's at a family mall, so hopefully people show up.
And so what are the big ones by you, like New York Comic Con?
That is, I guess, yeah, because, like, it's, like, 3 hours away. There was an upstate New York one that started, but I think they only did it like 1 year and then they stopped because I don't really see that anymore. And then Saratoga Comic Con is kind of big because it's like kind of the bigger one around here.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's probably like that one and then that one. We wanted to do Baltimore this year, but because we want to try to do like two smaller ones and then like do a big one. And that was going to be the big one. And I was like, "Oh, well, I'm renovating my house. We don't have money."
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I still have to pay my friend Hector to do the art for one of the comics. So I was like,
yeah, that's another thing about tabling is, yes, especially at our level, it costs so much money just to try and make money.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, if it's not near you, you got to pay for a hotel or whatever, depending on the situation.
Oh, yeah.
So I was, like, telling Dylan that, like, "Oh, we got to factor all that in." He's like, "Ah, yeah, that's not going to happen this year." I was like, "No." Because he lives in Nashville, so we have to, like, he has to come from Nashville to go wherever we're going, and then I got to go wherever we're going. So.
Oh, man. Yeah, it racks up. It's going to be a while before I start making serious profits.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, hotel, gas, table. I mean, just the amount of, you know, gummies and snacks I have to bring to the table to eat throughout the day.
Yeah, our first convention that we were at, we were basically, like, sitting right across from, like, where the chips and stuff were. And they're like, we still had to pay for it, but it was, like, $2 or something. And I was like,
oh, that's good. At my shout out to Fan Expo Chicago for selling their sodas for $6.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Insane.
I told my friend, I'm like, "Oh man, I've got a headache and I'm tired. I've got an hour drive after this." But then I saw the price. I'm like, "I'll just crash on the way home. I'm not paying the $6."
It's like, how big is a soda? Is it like this size? Or is it like...
I think smaller than that.
And it was $6?
Yeah.
Oh, they got to make that profit back.
Oh, of course. Yeah, they got, you know, inflation. It really hurts the big businesses most.
Cool. So what else do you have in the works besides, the haunted house love story?
I've got a cartoon mystery called Gumshoe City. It's currently with a publisher, so fingers crossed it's all going through, but I usually don't count my chickens until it's actually in my hand. It's a kind of Looney Tunes meets Columbo. It's drawn by this amazing artist named Michael Lee Harris, and it's very bouncy, very fun, and you can solve the mysteries as you do it or as you read it. Then I'm currently drawing a comic called Lights in the Sky. It's about an alien conspiracy radio show host that's abducted by a fan that claims to have contact with aliens. It's kind of like my love letter to like Art Bell, Coast to Coast, conspiracies, all these unsolved mysteries of the world that I love reading about. And it's kind of out. I'm doing a different art style where it's inspired by kind of grainy government photographs, like the ones where everything is redacted. So it's a lot of tracing photographs and like I use 3D models to get the character's face photographically accurate every panel. Much different than my usual just standard drawing style, but I think this will make it feel like it's actually a redacted government file.
That's
And
cool.
hoping to finish that soonish. 14 pages left.
Oh my God. That's cool. Yeah, I just saw a video on Instagram like yesterday, and it was like somebody in the comments are like, "Why does it always look so grainy?" But like it's 2023, and it was like of a UFO like doing this in the sky. Okay.
I was on the fence about Bigfoot until the iPhone came out.
Yeah.
Now that we all got cameras, I'm like, there's really no excuse anymore.
And the guy that I worked at my last job, he like believes like Bigfoot's a thing, but like there's more than one Bigfoot. It's like a family of them like throughout the area.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I was like,
Even more unlikely that we're missing not just one, but an entire race of fur men.
yeah. cool.
I want to believe. I'm the Fox Mulder of Bigfoot. I want to believe.
Harry and the Hendersons. Cool. So, where can people find you?
I'm at Winston Gambro on everything, Twitter, Instagram, URL. Blue Sky, I guess, if we're promoting that now.
Yeah, sure. I just got on there, so.
Nice. It's
Yeah.
Twitter again.
It's just another Twitter. It's not, doesn't look like a porn site or something, so. I don't know why.
It is crazy what that acts. It really makes your internet history look a lot more suspicious.
Yeah, and like even in the email it says X and then it's like formerly Twitter. And I'm like, maybe just get rid of that so like you actually brand it correctly.
How embarrassing.
Yeah, I don't, whatever. Yeah, I rarely
But
go on Twitter anyway, but.
Winston Gambro for everything, winstongambro.com for my portfolio. That's where you can buy my comics too. And then Haunted House of Love Stories in pre-orders right now. So if you want to check out the story of grief and romance, just ask your local comic shop to order you a copy.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for coming on, and maybe see you again.
Yeah, thanks, Greg.